In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So as I mentioned, we're about to have the blessing of the backpacks in a few minutes, but of course it's not just the blessing of the backpacks. This is what grammarians call synecdoche, where a part stands in for the whole. We're going to bless the bearers of the backpacks as well as the backpacks. And by extension, we're going to ask God's mercy on the whole enterprise of teaching and learning, especially as it pertains to the rising generation of our community here at All Saints, and especially as it pertains to this coming academic year. Scripture has some advice for the youth about how to comport yourself in school and throughout your life. In fact, it's not just good advice for youth and students, but it's good advice for all of us. Have a look at the second lesson. Jesus spake this parable, it says, unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So the first point sort of just slaps you in the face right out of the gate. Don't trust in yourself, don't think that you're righteous, and don't despise others. On first glance, to me, and if you're like me, probably to you, that sounds kind of trite or kind of obvious. It sounds like some kind of advice that you would get in a Hallmark card or something like that. But look, here's the deal, man, as President Biden might say. Here's the deal. This is actually pretty profound advice. And remember, the word profound means at the foundations of something. And this is the deal. Self-righteousness and despising others is pretty close to the foundation of human psychology, often. It's pretty core to the identity of most of us a lot of the time. It can be easy to give ourselves a pass, to make excuses for ourselves, and to think we're doing all right overall, right? While at the same time being quick to find fault in what other people do, or even to blame other people for your problems. My old buddy, the philosopher of language, Ludwig Wittgenstein, once wrote in his diary, God may say to me, I am judging you out of your own mouth. Your own actions have made you shudder with disgust when you've seen other people do them. It takes an uncommon level of self-awareness to be able to say something like that, or at least to say it honestly, to write it honestly. Just wait till the next time somebody cuts you off in traffic and you'll know what I'm talking about. Maybe that's just me, but I get enraged, you know, when people misbehave while driving. It just enrages me, and I shout at them, and, you know, it's pointless, obviously, but it's something I'm prone to do. And we're all prone to things like that, you know, in the course of our lives in various contexts. One church father put it like this. This is the solution. Where the master of the household is liberal, by which he means generous, right? Where the master of the household is liberal, the steward should not be oppressive. If God is kind, should you be harsh? Do you seek thereby the character of sanctity? Be strict in ordering your own life, and in that of others, be lenient. Let men hear of you as enjoining little and performing much. And that's the problem with the Pharisee in the second lesson today. It wasn't that he was wrong to be fasting and praying and tithing and all that. All of that is great. We should fast. We should pray. We should tithe. The problem, rather, was the disposition of the Pharisee's heart. God always looks at the heart. The Pharisee had a high estimation of himself in his heart, whereas the publican, which means a tax collector, everybody hated tax collectors in the first century. They still hate tax collectors to this day. Some things never change. But the publican, who was despised by everybody and who was a sinner, he was cooperating with colonizers to oppress his own people. The publican, this guy, knew what was really going on. He knew the score. He had an honest and an accurate, a righteous understanding of his own self. He judged himself with righteous judgment, and he simply, therefore, asked God to be merciful to him. We are all a long way off the mark when we judge ourselves in the light of Christ's transcendence, his righteousness, and that should be our only standard of measure. The truth is that every one of us stands in desperate need of God's mercy. And that's the secret sauce if you want to be a real winner in the only way that matters, whether it's in school or in business or in your personal life or your social engagements, whatever. The secret sauce is humility if you want to win. Humility, true humility, establishes an instant connection with God. It plugs us right in to the divine. One of the 20th century's greatest spiritual writers, his name was Evelyn Underhill. She was an Anglican, kind of a contemporary, you know, acquaintance of C.S. Lewis and that crew. Evelyn Underhill put it this way. She said, "The publican's desperate sense of need and imperfection made instant contact with the source of all perfection." The publican's sense of his own need, his own imperfection, that sense of his own, the acknowledgement of his own emptiness, made instant contact with God's perfection, the source of all perfection. It's not that the publican was especially bad. Jesus doesn't say that he was bad. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. And he wasn't a real person anyway, by the way. He was a character in a story that Jesus was telling. But the point is, Jesus's point is not that he's so terrible, but just that he knew that he was imperfect, dependent, that he was needy, without any claims or any rights. He was a realist, and that's what Jesus praises about him. And that's all of us, too. Whoever you are, you cannot leap across the ugly, broad ditch separating time and eternity. You cannot get yourself to heaven. You cannot make yourself a winner. You can't do it on your own power. No matter how much you fast, how much you pray, how much you tithe, a realistic self-estimation will reveal this fact about you. You need the mercy of God. And the point of the parable is that such a realistic estimation of yourself immediately opens up a channel to the mercy of God, a channel of communion between your poverty and God's riches. This is part of what our tradition means by repentance. A couple of weeks ago, I said that repentance meant to turn, right, in the right direction. And it does mean that, turning away from self-deception and turning toward the light of what's true and what's real, not least about yourself. That's a good way to start the school year, right? It's a good way to go through life. It's a good way to start every year. In the light of the truth that we have a lot to learn, that we always stand empty before God, and on God's side, that he stands eager to make us full, to fill us with knowledge, and not least the knowledge of him and of his mercy and his power. This is a key to this gospel paradox, how it is that humility leads to exaltation, how hunger leads to fullness, and how death ultimately leads to life, eternal life. It's in the true nature of things. It's even there in today's collect. In the collect, it says that God's almighty power is chiefly demonstrated in his mercy and in his pity. God's almighty power is chiefly demonstrated in his mercy and in his pity. Not in smiting his enemies, but in showing mercy. Even so, we make ourselves fit vessels of God's power by asking for his mercy and his pity, and by recognizing in ourselves our need. That's how we open a channel to God's almighty power, by recognizing our emptiness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.